All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The 36th American Century Championship with a purse of $750,000 in network television exposure on NBC, as well as a first-place prize of $150,000, is the most prestigious celebrity golf tournament in the world. The 54-hole competition, now in its 36th year, is for current and former professional athletes, entertainers, and media commentators. The tournament is contested among 80-plus competitors under a modified stable format, and it's played July 9th to the 13th. More information can be found at www.AmericanCenturyChampionship.com. And here today on behalf of the American Century Championship is the former NFL quarterback, a good friend of the show, in Joe Theismann. Joe, I know it's been a bit. Appreciate the time. How you been, my friend?
Zach, it's great to join you again. It was a great year in Washington, I can tell you that, and it's been an exciting, and it's so exciting things going on at the meetings as well, but it's sure good to catch up with you.
Yeah, holy smokes about the Commanders, right? You know, for so many years, right, Daniel Snyder couldn't get out of his own way. New ownership in, you have a team that not only goes to the playoffs this past year, but they make the NFC Championship game, and you know it. You either have a quarterback or you don't in this league, and Jaden Daniels not only was good in his rookie year, he had the greatest rookie season I've ever seen from a quarterback.
Oh, I agree with you. And you know what's great about him, Zach, is he's just as terrific a human being. He is a great kid. His work ethic is second to none. He wants to get better. I think he, you know, basically it's a funny word to use. He's adored by his buddy, his teammate. They think the world of him. And you know, it's one thing to be liked. It's another thing to be respected. And he has both. And he continues to try and get better and better and better. And that's what makes it so much fun. There's lots of exciting things happening. Hopefully there'll be approval of a new stadium down where old RFK is, which really would, you know, sort of reunite the old with the new as far as fans go.
Yeah, and that's a thing. Like, that fan base used to be such a proud fan base, and I understand why the fans had a lot of apathy and disgust through the last several years. To see those fans come back this year and just the general joy that they had to be proud of a football team again, it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, if you don't win, you know, build it and they will come. It's the same thing. If you build a good football team, they will come. You know, I think when I got hurt in 85, since that time, there's been 44 different starting quarterbacks over 40 years. Some ridiculous number like that. And you made the statement, and it's so true. You can't win without a quarterback. It's just like you can't win without a golf game. You know, we're talking about the American Century. By the way, it's going to go on Golf Channel, Peacock, and NBC as well. And we're waiting to hear. Maybe hopefully Steph will play. We won the championship, had a hole in one in 2023, and won the championship. And then last year Marty Fish won it. But we've added an element to it that is so much fun for so many people. Everybody loves fantasy. They love the world of fantasy. You play fantasy, right?
Yeah, of course. How many leagues am I in, Joe? It's ridiculous.
I give my son advice, but then he stopped asking me midway through the season. So, but anyway, we have the American Century. It's the American Century, or ATC Fantasy Golf, .com is where you can go. But we have the Fantasy Golf Contest. And the way it works is there you get to select five different players. And there's five teams. And if you win each day of the 3 days, you get two tickets to next year's tournament. If you win the overall championship, you wind up going to not only to the tournament next year, but you get $10,000 for the charity of your choice. And that's one of the things about American Century as a company. They've given away $8 million for charity. The Stauer Institute for Medical Research is one of the beneficiaries. And as a matter of fact, American Century gives away 40%, over 40% of their net profits to the Stauer Institute, as well as other basically genetic-based disease research. It's incredible. I mean, this is my 35th year.
Wow.
Zach, and I know. When we first started going there, the 17th hole will probably have between 10 and 15,000 people on it. The boats will be lined up on the lake. I mean, it's crazy. When I first went there, they showed us pictures a few years ago. There were about 20 people on the entire hole. It's a par three, and there's only about 20 people. Now, it's like I say, it's 15,000, and it's funny. A lot of people don't really get a chance to play in front of that many people. You know, like in stadiums, you're sort of removed from people and you have a helmet on, or maybe, you know, you're just not on top of everybody. Basketball is a little bit different because they're closer. But overall, it's just stepping up on that tee and trying not to hit a bad shot into the sand or into the boats or something. The pressure is really quite incredible. It's fun. I love it. I love it.
How is your golf game? I got out the last few weekends, and I'm starting to get my driver really going, which I'm happy about. But where's your golf game at, Joe Theismann?
I'm driving the ball pretty well. I just can't hit it as far. You know, you reach, you know, Father Time is undefeated. And, you know, the par fives are a little tough for me to get to. But I've been working real hard on my wedges. Putting has always been sort of an Achilles heel for me a little bit, but I think I may have found a solution. I found a great new ping putter. Not that I'm trying to sell anything.
Sure.
But I found a putter that's light, and it gives me the feel in my hands. I've always been a handsy player. Probably the best thing I do is drive the golf ball. And I just, it's a game where it's hard to blame somebody. Although my young son caddies for me, and I always blame Patrick when something goes wrong.
It's like, you quarterbacks, you're always throwing people under the bus.
Why did you give me that club? You know better than to give me that club. Yeah, but Dad, you asked for it. I don't care if I asked for it. You know, it's but it's a great time. I'll tell you, we've had 70,000 people. Like you say, prize is 750,000, 150 to the winner. But I mean, we'll get 70,000 people out to Lake Tahoe. You know, people like A-Rod are going to play, and of course, Charles will be there. It wouldn't be a tournament without Charles. Tony will be back. Romo, John Smoltz, Dave Wells. My favorite movie is one of my two favorite movies is Top Gun: Maverick with Miles Teller. He's going to be there. The other one is We Were Soldiers. Those are my two favorite movies. So you know, to have Miles there is so neat. I just keep seeing him, you know, in the back of that jet going whoa with Cruise. It's fun. I mean, and like you say, it's, you know, Annika Sorenstam. She's always in the top five. Mm-hmm. Incredible. I stand next to her on the range just to watch her hit balls. She's flawless. She lives out in Lake Tahoe, and I mean, she knows the course like the back of her hand. But to watch her hit balls, and actually, I love playing on the LPGA Tour in pro-ams with the ladies. They take whatever flaws you have, and if you just study them, slow the takeaway round a little bit. Finish your swing. Keep your head down. They do it all. I mean, they really, really are. They're great teachers just by watching them.
Now, obviously, right, you're Joe Theismann, so you probably played golf with some pretty cool people. You talked about people that are going to be participating in the American Century Championship. More information, www.americancenturychampionship.com. But through your fame, like, who's the coolest person you've ever played golf with?
Donald Trump.
Wow. What was that like?
It was great. I mean, President Trump is... He's a man that, you know, I've had the opportunity to play golf with and had a great round with him. And, you know, people like Mark McGwire and Michael Jordan, I've had the chance to play with Michael as far as athletes go. And they like to put a lot of his quarterbacks together. So I wind up, you know, basically in a group with, you know, Matt Ryan or, you know, Mark Rippon I used to play with. We've had just a number of different guys. We've got, you know, six quarterbacks are playing in this one. Steve Young played with Steve. He's going to be there.
You got Aaron Rodgers.
AR is going to be there. Yeah, AR is coming back. And you know, the question is, what's he going to do?
Yeah, he's going to sign Aaron, with the Steelers, right?
You know, I said this months ago. I said, I don't know if he's going to play again. This is the thing. When you really analyze it, if you're going to be the quarterback of a football team, you really need to be in OTAs, mini camps, and training camps, okay? You really need to be able to do that. Aaron's already missed the OTAs, some of the OTAs. He's learning a new system. At his age, do you really want to go to all of those practices and learn a new system and learn new players? And I said, I'm almost surprised if he's going to play.
The only thing is,
almost be surprised if he's going
to
play.
Like, Joe, I don't think he wants to go to a lot of that stuff. But also, no, then, like, what are the Steelers going to do? They're going to really have Mason Rudolph start week one? Like, when Rodgers says he wants to play, aren't they just going to go to him?
Well, not if he hasn't had any work. I don't think you can, Zach. I don't feel like you can just automatically say, okay, you know, okay, you're the quarterback. You haven't had any practice with any of the players. You really have to take some time to learn the system to be able to communicate it with the players in the huddle. You haven't had any of that either. And now we're going to put you on the football field and let you go play. It's not as simple as just stepping on a football field with great athletic ability, the ability to throw, and the experience. There's a process to learning what a team requires of you. And if you don't go through the practice sessions, you don't go through the off season, you really don't know what those things are.
Hey, by the way, since you said that you golf with Donald Trump and Michael Jordan, who's the better golfer between the two?
Well, Michael was playing really well. Let me just put it that way when I played with him.
Yeah, I was impressed with the president's golf game. I saw him with Bryson DeChambeau, man. He could really bomb the ball, the president.
Well, he's not a small man.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he's a big person, and yeah, he can absolutely bomb it. But it's a game. I think that the thing that's so great about it is you hit the ball. It's different than any other sport because everything else is reactionary. But in golf, you hit the ball, and then you spend the next, if you're walking, you spend the next 5 to 7 minutes analyzing what you did wrong. So by the time you get to the ball again, you're totally confused. Then you hit it again, and then you continue to confuse yourself as you move along, and you criticize yourself, and you analyze yourself. And then you hit a good one, and you go, ah, I got it. And then you hit another one, and you don't. So, you know, that's what I love about the game.
So Jordan's the better golfer. Was Trump the better smack talker?
No, not getting into that. We had great conversations. Let's put it that way.
All righty. Last thing I'll ask you. I'll stop being a jackass. Joe Theismann is here. www.americancenturychampionship.com. Commanders had such a sensational season this past year. Now they're going to be on everybody's radar. No one's going to sleep on the Commanders. Why are they ready to take the next step this upcoming season? Is there any fear that maybe they regress a little bit this year?
If you want to use Houston as a template, C.J. Stroud had a terrific rookie season and struggled a bit. I think people will learn a little bit more about Jaden. They'll learn a little bit more about the offense. And I think Cliff Kingsbury did a terrific job calling games. And you got to remember, the last 5 games were all nail-biters for the Commanders last year. Can they repeat the amount of wins? It's hard to say. But they stayed fairly healthy, which was a big key. And Jaden really played smart football. He didn't put himself in harm's way that he'd missed time in practice or missed time in games. So I think they can be competitive. I think they had a very solid, good draft. They've added some people. They brought some people back. And I think this football team can continue to move. And, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, you don't know what the Cowboys are going to look like. You don't know what the Giants are going to look like. You certainly know what the Eagles are going to look like. And they've got stretches in this season where they finished the last 4 games. They've got New York. They've got the Giants in New York. Mm-hmm. Then they get the Eagles at home, the Cowboys at home, and then the Eagles on the road.
Yeah, it's tough.
So they finish with four division games. And then, you know, you sprinkle in the Lions and the Bill, the Lions. You got
Chiefs.
Chiefs, you know, you've got the – and then they go to Madrid to play the Dolphins.
Hmm. Yeah. No, it's not an easy schedule.
Well, the thing is, it's not only that, but when you get good, you start playing Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night. You start making international trips. The one thing that this football team is going to have to do is really focus on keeping themselves mentally and physically ready to play, because sometimes it's 4 days to get ready. Sometimes it's 2 weeks. You know, you're going to be like on a yo-yo when it comes to the schedule. And that, I think, is the biggest thing, is keeping yourself mentally sharp that you can prepare and get ready to play.
Joe, from week 5 to 13, they play 425, 815, 425, 815, 820, 425, 9:30 a.m., and then 820 p.m. So that illustrates your point perfectly. A lot of primetime games. Hey, last thing I promise this time, Joe Theismann, are you in favor?
I don't care. I'll hang with you all day.
Yeah. Are you in favor of this tush push? I know that they're trying to ban the tush push now. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think they're necessarily just banning the tush push. There was a rule where you weren't allowed to push anybody or pull anybody. I think they ought to think about enforcing the rule that's already in place, which would basically eliminate the tush push. I thought it was very creative of the Eagles. I didn't feel like they should be punished. But the fact of the matter is there's a rule that says you should not do these things, and yet it was just totally ignored. And so to me, I think if they just say, okay, we're not going to allow anybody to push anybody, and we're not going to allow anybody as they go down the field to pull anybody, that would eliminate it basically and take care of it. You know, there is one rule I would love to see him address at some point in time, and that is from a reception standpoint or an interception standpoint. If you catch the ball or trying to catch the ball and it touches the ground in any way, it ought to be incomplete. Because I don't think the replay is specific enough to tell whether the ball moved or didn't move. I just think if it touches the ground, it's incomplete. Make it real simple.
Yeah, I have no clue what it catches anymore, if I'm being honest. But that's been an issue that we talked about for a long time. I don't know how you hit the quarterback. I don't know how you guard wide receivers. There's a lot of things I don't know. But I know this. I'll be watching each and every weekend because that's what I do, and that's what we do in America. We watch football, and we're addicted to it. Once again, check it out, AmericanCenturyChampionship.com. Joe Theismann will be participating for his 35th year in it, but it's the American Century Championship's 36th tournament. Joe, thank you so much. Hit him straight.
Zach, thanks an awful lot. Great catching up with you.
Back at you. There you go. Joe Theismann with us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. How about that? You know, who you play golf with? Michael Jordan and the president, President Trump. I'm going to put you guys on the spot here. Carlos, if you could play golf with one person, who would that person be?
If I ever wanted to play golf, to be honest, I don't care which side of the aisle that you lean on. I would go with the president of the United States.
Okay. Alex Azarum, what soccer player are we going to basically get from you, right? You know, bring Pele back from the dead. Let's get him on 18.
Maradona.
Yeah, Maradona. Who would it be? Freddie Adu?
No. Again, I'm not a golfer, but I actually...
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying you have to be good.
I know, but I probably would go Jordan. Or maybe even a Charles Barkley, because he's hilarious, I feel like.
You know what? I think most people are going to expect you to say a man, right? What about Beyonce? Imagine 18 holes with Beyonce. Wouldn't be bad. It'd be fun conversation.
Paige Spinrack.
I met her. I interviewed her at the Super Bowl this past year.
She can get me to golf. I hate golf.
After I interviewed her, I turned around. There was like 10 people that were working behind the scenes for us that I've never seen before in my life. And they just popped up. I don't know where they were. They're just
like
out of
daisies.
Nowhere. Just popped up. Oh, hey, Zach, how you doing? I'm like, oh, nice to meet you. Who the heck are you? I knew what those guys were doing.
Oh, yeah.
All righty. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Also, what I learned from that interview, Michael Jordan's a better golfer than the president. Who's the better smack talker? I'm not going to talk about that. That means Trump is a better smack talker than the great Michael Jordan. All righty. Let's take a break. When we come on back, what are we going to get to on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network? I'm all out of sync today. We're going to get to a news brief. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We will get to a news brief next. We are coming on back in 5 right here on the Infinity Sports.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, news brief time on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Let's start things off with the Mets manager, Carlos Mendoza. He was asked if he will have a talk with Juan Soto about hustling out of the batter's box more.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk to him about it. Tonight, obviously, someone gets a hold of Juan and knows when he gets it, he's Juan, you know. And he thought he had it, you know, but with the wind and all that. And in this ballpark, or, you know, anywhere, but in particular in this one, with that wall right there, you got to get out of the box. So, we'll discuss that.
So against the Yankees, there was a ball hit to second base that he didn't hustle on. Last night, I thought he just hit the ball out, and the ball didn't go out. But it's one thing for Carlos Mendoza to say he's going to have a conversation. Here is Juan Soto when he was asked to maybe take a little accountability, and he was asked if he needs to bust it out of the box more.
No. I think been hustling very hard. If you see it today, you could tell.
Yeah, that's not a good answer. I think there you just say, hey, I thought I hit a home run. Obviously, I was wrong. I got to be better next time, and you keep it moving. Now, here's the thing. there's a lot of negativity about Juan Soto and the Mets after the Yankees series. The Mets lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. The Mets are still 29-19. They're 10 games over 500. And let's be real, Juan Soto has not done much so far. So here's my message to Mets fans. Calm down a little bit. It's going to be all right. You're going to be fine. Mike Piazza wasn't great with the Mets at first, and then he finally got going. Juan Soto is one of the best players in the game. I know that he needs to hustle more. I know he looks like he's disinterested at times, and he needs better body language. But do I think he'll turn it around? Yes, I do. Do I think he'll go back to being Juan Soto? Yes, I do. But with that being said, right now, Juan Soto needs to be better. Now, I got to ask a question here. Because, Stu's out, and he had a schedule off day. Samter, I guess he got the sniffles, and who knows when he's going to come back. But Samter and Stu do something that just drives me bonkers. And I honestly may unplug the televisions in the studio across the other way. But they watch more soccer than you could ever imagine. They react to it on the show. Now, Alex Azarim doesn't think that I saw it, but out of the corner of my eye, Alex's arm is sitting there like a fat kid in a candy store. Like the first time that you're like a 12 or 13 year old boy.
Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, or you start to maybe go on the internet and realize there's some sites that you could go to. You are so giddy right now, and you have your hand over your mouth and you're laughing like a little fat kid in a candy store. What's going on with this soccer nonsense now?
It was a red card, and the manager had a really hilarious reaction to it.
And what league is this?
This is the Premier League.
Okay, and are we in the playoffs or something? There was a mid-season tournament or something just recently in this league?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's like next week is the last week of the season, and then the May 31st is the Champions League final.
Okay. So wasn't there just some mid-season tournament, though? Santer and Stu, because you actually know
probably
soccer.
The Champions League.
The other two, they just pretend to know soccer. They were telling me it's like the in-season NBA tournament was basically going on in soccer.
Oh, the FA Cup, probably?
What the heck is that?
It's just like a combination. Like, literally every English team is participating.
And the World Cup's coming up in, what, 2 years?
Next year. Here in you.
And there's something before the World Cup another big event?
That one's stupid. It's the Club World Cup.
Okay. Santa said he's more excited for that than the World Cup.
There's no way. There's like teams that he's never
heard
of.
Explain the difference.
Club World Cup is clubs from across the globe, whereas the World Cup is countries.
Okay. I'm just acknowledging so people know what we're talking about, because I think most of the listening audience, even though soccer is wildly popular, is like, huh? This ain't NFL. This ain't college football. So now I have to, whenever I work with you, I have to deal with you watching soccer.
Yeah.
Well, at least you know what you're talking about. I don't know how much Stu and Samter really know about soccer, if I'm just being honest. Outside of you, who's the biggest soccer person here at the station?
Ooh. I would say we have a group chat. It's like, it's Boyle,
oh,
Manny
my
Rodriguez.
It's incredibly obnoxious.
Do you have to be a loser to be in that group chat?
Yes. That's the prerequisite.
Stu's in it.
Stu could be a loser.
Zoo.
I like Zoo.
Oh, you know who's actually a really big soccer fan that I didn't know?
Tiki,
yeah.
Tiki's a huge soccer
fan. Tiki and Dexter Henry were the guys that surprised
Dexter
me the
Henry,
most.
Dexter Henry, another one, yeah.
Tiki, honestly, is a big reason why I dislike soccer. Because I would do 6 to 10 p.m., and when you would have these talks when Tiki was in this studio from 3 to 6, he would always try to talk my ear off about soccer, and he would have the soccer on, and I'd be like, Tiki, I love you. I don't give two craps about soccer. And I said a word that I can't say on the radio. Yeah, Tiki is a huge, huge soccer fan.
Oh, yeah. Any excuse to wear a tight jersey.
And also, he does like promotional reads for one of the MLS teams.
The Red Bulls, yeah.
Yeah. MLS, that's the best version of soccer, right?
I'm not going to get started on that.
Hey, as an NYCFC season ticket member, I take offense to that.
You go to the last World Cup?
Yeah, I did. In Qatar.
Yeah.
I did.
We're already coming up on four. Is it 4 years, right?
Yeah, 4 years. But this one's a little bit shorter because the one in Qatar was in November and December.
Was that pandemic related or something?
No, it was because in Qatar in the summer,
the
it's like 120 degrees.
Oh, okay.
It's literally unplayable.
Gotcha. So how long was that flight?
The flight?
Yeah.
Whoa. 12 hours?
12 hours?
Yeah.
You flew 12 hours to see soccer? How long were you there for?
I think 12 days, almost
2 weeks.
Oh,
my God.
I don't want to drive 12
minutes. And who are you rooting for? A guy, I remember.
Iran. I went to every Iran game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And who ended up winning the World Cup again?
Argentina.
And who'd they beat?
France. That was the greatest game of ever.
Who was the team that made the crazy run? Maybe to like the final four or six?
Oh, Morocco.
Morocco,
yeah,
right?
They made the semis.
Because Youssef.
Yeah.
Youssef was rooting for that. Yes, Youssef. The great Youssef around here. All right, anyway, let's go to the NBA. Mark Dagnoe says the Timberwolves are different now than compared to when they played the Oklahoma City Thunder in the regular season.
It'll be different, just like every playoff series. They're a team we respect. They're playing exceptionally well right now. Since really March 1st, they've been outstanding both ends of the floor, and their playoff run's been very impressive. So it's a tall task and going to require great, you know, energy, focus, all the things that we need to bring.
And let's go to Chris Finch of the Timberwolves. He says Anthony Edwards is really coming to his own this postseason.
It just feels like he's kind of has a little bit more patience during a series. You know, he understands that it's going to be a number of games. Things are going to happen, you know, and he's letting them play out, if you will, you know, trusting the right play, using the defense against itself.
I think the light just went off for the Timberwolves, where they knew what they were capable of. In the regular season, they were good, but they weren't great. And then once they got quickly disposed of the L.A. Lakers, that's when it was like, okay, it's go time. And now they're back in the conference finals, and we'll see if they could right the wrong from last year. With that being said, let's go to Anthony Edwards. He said there's nothing the Timberwolves can take from last year's Western Conference Finals that they could apply to this year's series.
There's no benefits of going through it last year, just trying to be more prepared this year and not come out sluggish in game one with all this time that we have.
And then let's go to Shaq. He says that David Stern might have rigged the 1992 lottery to get him to the Orlando Magic. This is on the Ashley Neville show.
In 1992, I meet Mr. Stern in March. And he says to me, hey, know who you are. Can't wait for you to come to the NBA. Then he pulls me to his side. You want to play where it's cold or where it's hot? He asked me that. Yeah, he did. He asked me that. And I was like, hot. And he smiled and I smiled. And then couple of days later, they had the draft thing and, you know, the top three things. And then Minnesota was number three. I was like, and then Charlotte was number two. And then Orlando, Florida was number one.
That's crazy. Now, you always have the Patrick Ewing draft story as well with the freezing of the envelope. Now people think the league is rigged. People think that the Mavericks, because that trade is so inexcusable, that the league said you have to trade Luka to the Lakers. We'll give you the number one pick so you could go on out there and get Cooper Flagg. I don't think this draft lottery was rigged. Carlos, I know you're a big conspiracy theorist. You probably think it is.
1,000%.
Even though our very own Bill Reiter was in the room for the draft lottery and saw the whole process played out, you still think it's rigged?
I don't believe Bill.
I think it would have been more rigged if the Spurs got the first pick. And it was very close.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, why would you... I get the theory is, oh, to get Luka to the Lakers, then you get Cooper Flagg because they got basically nothing back. For what you would think in Luka Doncic, they got, what, one first-round pick in Anthony Davis. So that's the theory. But I would have rather have seen the Spurs get the number one overall pick. Because imagine if you could have had Wemby, you could have had Castle, who's there, Fox is already there, and then Cooper Flagg. And who knows, maybe you trade that pick, or maybe you keep Flagg, and then you get De'Aaron Fox and Castle in a package in a trade to go get Giannis. Like, there's a lot of creativity that you could have done there. But by the way, we'll get to more of this later, but yes or no, we could fade out the music because that's a news brief on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Carlos with a K is producing for us today.
Hello.
You usually work with Bart Winkler on the Bart Winkler Show as his producer, and you guys have very good chemistry. And I will just say this to you since you're here. The way that you have mastered the board, I think, is very compelling, where there are drops that are played where I sometimes think I'm co-hosting the Bart Winkler Show with an entire folder that I think you have of me.
Oh, yeah. I have easily maybe six drops of you.
Now, I love, I think 60, if we're being honest. Now, I love Bart. Love Bart. And Bart used to fill in for me. And to Bart's credit, because he's a very good talent, Bart then was able to parlay that into being a full-time host on this network on the 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time, Eastern time shift. And you can listen to many of the same Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 375, and the free Odyssey app. But I do know... Bart and Bill Reiter earlier in the basketball season were kind of going at it because Bill had this report that Giannis was going to force a trade at the end of the year, and Bart's Mr. Milwaukee based in Milwaukee, and he was like, not on my watch. And there's been a lot through the years of people trying to get Giannis out of Milwaukee. Well, it looks like Bill is starting to be right because there's a lot more now buzz and speculation from not only Bill Reiter but other people that Giannis is going to try to force his way out. And I guess there's a meeting this week or next week between the Bucks brass and Giannis, and maybe we'll get some more clarity. So it's not a foregone conclusion that Giannis won't be back, but I think it's the first time I have legitimately taken this trade chatter seriously, where in previous years I'd be standing there and defending the Milwaukee Bucks and saying Giannis should stay. But I know Bart could get very emotional.
Yeah, because that's his guy.
Wait, I want to ask you a question, though. I know Bart could get very emotional. Has it started to got to a point where it's clearly impacting him, and now he's worried that the Bucks are actually going to lose Giannis?
No, I don't think he's worried at all. Actually, I believe he's accepting of that fact. This is the first time where he's acknowledged that it makes sense.
Okay. I think that's fair. Because if you're Giannis, you want to win a championship. The Bucks went all in to go get Damian Lillard, and now Damian Lillard's hurt. I don't think there's another move that they could make. Now, Bar would always be like, I've seen Giannis with this family in Milwaukee. He's not leaving.
Still says it.
Yeah, he still says
it. And Giannis had his chances. He signed two different contracts with Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. No, he has thrown that out there, and anytime he's thrown that out there, he has stayed in Milwaukee. This time, though, I don't see, outside of just liking the Bucks and liking the organization and like living, and playing for that team, I don't see why, if Giannis is all about winning another championship, why he would say that. I just don't think there's a life raft to jump on this time to save the Giannis Antetokounmpo trade. But you don't usually see foreign players request trades, though. Usually don't see it.
Even Luka requested it.
No, he was crying when that jackass Nico Harrison ended up trading him.
Ugh. And then got rewarded for Flag.
Ugh, disgusting. I'm happy for Mavs fans. I'm not happy for Nico Harrison. So I still think that dude should be fired. But anyway, so Bart's somewhat stable on this?
Yeah, he's come to terms with it. If it happens, cool. If it doesn't, he's like, all right, listen, this is our guy. We'll ride out.
Yeah, because there's big issues that go on in the world that could impact Bart.
First world problems.
Yes, and sometimes then Bart needs to take vacation days to heal from that. Anyway, I love Bart. It is the Zach Gelb Show, the Infinity Sports Network. We will come on back. The conference finals begin tonight. I do want to talk about ticket pricing. And also, I want to talk about Anthony Edwards. We'll get to all that on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach. All right, you got game one of the Western Conference Finals tonight between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Just entertain me here, folks. Alex Azarim and Carlos with a K. For the cheapest ticket for game one of the Western Conference Finals, what do you think the cheapest ticket is right now on, let's say, SeatGeek, a secondary site? What do you think the cheapest ticket is, worst seat in the house? Like, what do you think it is?
I'm going to go with $382.
Okay, that's one guess. Alex Azarim?
$180.
Azarim is closer, but neither of you are anywhere close.
Well, like 100?
You could get in section 329, row Q, that's behind the basket, last row, upper deck. $115.
Now we should take a show flight there. That's nothing.
$115. The flight would be more expensive. Now, I kind of spoiled this already off the air with Carlos with the K.
I shall abstain.
So let's go to Alex Azarim. Game one tomorrow at Madison Square Garden. Worst seat in the house right now. It's actually a standing room seat. Now, you're not even seated. It's standing room. There's no seat. You are standing behind the basket, last row, Madison Square Garden. What do you think the get-in price is on SeatGeek right now?
$900.
$625. And that's still the ridiculous. Cheapest ticket. So here's my dilemma. Here's the dilemma. I have a friend that has a luxury box. Now, my friend has to bring his clients to the luxury box. And that's a very high-in-demand ticket. He told me, just get in the building, I'll get you to the luxury box. And I've done this before. Now, when I was on the subway here, I've been stalking SeatGeek all day. And it's basically been in the 700s for most of the day. It crept into the low sixes. I'm on the subway and it's at 550. I go, that may be fake. It's not going to get any lower than that. So I went to go buy it because I was underground in the subway. I couldn't end up getting it. What's the most you've ever spent on a ticket, Carlos?
$850 each.
And that was what?
That was game two of the Rangers and Panthers Eastern Conference Finals last year.
So similar. Game one of the conference finals, you game two. Wait, the Ranger ticket was more expensive than the Knicks ticket?
It was extremely expensive.
So here's the thing.
I just finished paying it off.
Now, I'm just looking to just get in the building tomorrow. Like, if it's at 625 now, and there's some other tickets that are ridiculous in the upper deck at 7,800. Now, I have the luxury of I live here right in the city. And if I go, I go. If I don't, like, it's a good crew tomorrow. I like the people. They're going out after the game to a nice fancy schmancy club. And they said, oh, hey, come, blah, 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 blah. So, like, it's going to be a good time. I know I'm going to have fun. So I'm okay with spending in the fives or even maybe the low sixes. Like, I've thought about pulling trigger here on 625. But I'm a gambling man here. And I like a deal. And I'm looking at this right now. And I'm saying to myself, if I wait to this time tomorrow, I feel as if it's going to be cheaper to get into the building. Now, I will say this. This will be the, and I don't, thankfully because of the job, I don't spend a lot on tickets. You know, you get hooked up a lot of times and things like that. So I'm okay with the two or four or five times out of the year I have to spend. But I think this is it for me for going to Knicks games if they're not free. In terms of for the rest of the playoffs. Because later on in this series, it's like $900 to walk into the building. The NBA finals are like $3,000 right now. Now for game six, I may actually go to Indiana and get a credential through work. Well, that could be cool. Because that's going to be a huge game, you would think, in that series. And for the NBA finals, you know, we hope we get some station credentials. But, you know, it's just 625 right now. And that's like a rarity. And but that it's one ticket, so it's still up there. The 556, they had five tickets. From the 3 minutes that I had no service till I got service, I got off the train, was ready to buy. Nope. SOL. So that's where we're at right now. I'll get to some predictions in just a second. Here was Stephon Marbury with us yesterday. And he says Anthony Edwards' thing on a basketball court that reminds him. Second time we mentioned Michael Jordan today. Joe Theismann just casually dropping that he golfs with Michael Jordan or has in the past. Here is Stephon Marbury saying Anthony Edwards reminds him of the great MJ.
Once he learns how to channel that energy and use that energy as a motor to like really figure it out, forget about the face of the league. I mean, this guy does things like Michael Jordan on the basketball court. And I'm not saying something that nobody else is saying. And when you see things like that as a guy who played professional basketball, I played against Jordan, I played against Kobe, and I played against LeBron. And I've never seen nobody like Jordan until I seen Kobe. And I never seen nobody like Jordan until I seen a younger version like Anthony Edwards play like how Mike played when he was younger. See, Kobe didn't play like Michael Jordan when he was younger. Kobe had his own little style. It evolved into him playing exactly like Michael Jordan. But Anthony Edwards, he came in the game with a whole bunch of different things that we didn't see from Michael Jordan. That was different. So when I see Anthony Edwards, I'm like, it's there's no limit. He just he makes it. I mean only God can give him the ability, but he can be the vehicle to do some amazing things.
So last year, Anthony Edwards, he had the face of the league talk really take off, and in the first two rounds, it felt like a foregone conclusion when they got up against the Mavericks, even with how great Luka is and how great Kyrie Irving was, you know, is there's a feeling that Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves are going to win that series. And they didn't. Now, going into this year's Western Conference Finals, most people are going to be picking the Oklahoma City Thunder. I just kind of think the reverse is going to happen. Where last year when you're supposed to win and you didn't, this year you're not supposed to win. And look how far Denver took Oklahoma City all the way to seven. I know you could say heart of the champion, all that stuff. That Nuggets team had no business being in a game seven. And it got to that point. Something just tells me, and I know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be the MVP of the league, that Anthony Edwards is going to have his moment. And Anthony Edwards is going to get to the NBA Finals. Azar, I know you're a big basketball guy. Who are you picking between the Thunder and the Timberwolves?
It's going to be a lot closer than a lot of people think. And Carlos was just saying, I think Anthony Edwards can be the face of the league.
Yeah. Well, because he's first off, great.
Yeah.
But he also has the personality to be the face of the league. Like Giannis, Nikola Jokic, their personalities are not face of the league personalities, even though those are the two best players in the league right now.
The thing that Anthony Edwards said after the loss in the Western Conference Finals, I think it was during the camp for Team USA.
Okay.
He said, what was the reason why you guys lost Western Conference? He's like, we just ran out of gas. I didn't have enough legs to win that series. And I think he will have it. However, I'm still going to go Thunder in seven.
Okay. So you were praising the Timberwolves.
Because
then you
think it'll be like Julius Randle is going to have a good series.
You're a politician.
I just to have Shea just ahead of Anthony Edwards.
Okay. That's fine. Carlos, you're going Timberwolves in the series?
Minnesota in six.
Ooh. Okay. Now, how about the Eastern Conference Finals? What do you start off with, Carlos? Knicks and Pacers.
Knicks in seven.
Ooh, you think that's going seven?
Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight.
I agree with him, Knicks in seven. But I can definitely see this being like, I predicted the Pacers to beat the Cavs before the series started, so I wasn't surprised at them beating them. But I could see this being a Pacers in six.
Astute Azarum. Look at this guy.
Basketball. I did.
Mr. Hoops.
But I'm going to agree with him. I'm going Knicks
in seven. You
throw
any money down on that? Or?
No, I don't bet.
Just a prediction.
No, I don't bet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just a prediction. That's fine. Knicks in six. I think the Knicks win in six. And you know what? I think the Timberwolves, they win in six as well. I'm going to go two sixes to get us to the NBA Finals, and we'll have the Timberwolves going up against the New York Knicks. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. It is a Tuesday, so we got some questions in the college football world. We got some questions in the NFL world. We will do a little Carlos with a K edition of overreaction, proper reaction on the other side. So if you're a normal listener to this program, and if there's something that sounds a little bit funky today with the overreaction, proper reaction, and you're upset about it, you send all your complaints to Carlos with the K. We're coming on back. It is the Zach Gelb Show.